Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Tuesday morning, this January 7th, Vanessa Denha Garmo, host of Epiphany, filling in for my dear sister this morning, Teresa Tomeo, who's on the Good News Cruise with corporate travel, and about 1,000 other people are on that cruise. I'm so excited because I get to go on that cruise next year, the Good News Cruise in 2026, which is happening February 18th to the 15th. It's on a Holland America's cruise line, and it's a Catholic cruise that will change your life, and I'm going to be accompanied by some amazing talent. I'm so excited and feel very blessed to be on the ship with Father Mike Schmitz and Matt Marr, Father Patrick Setu, Ahlam and Jeff Kassab. Jeff and I facilitate the Epiphany Book Club every month on Epiphany, the third Friday of every month. We'd love for you to participate in that. And then Father John Ricardo is making a special appearance. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers will be on the cruise next year. Steve Ray will be on the cruise. Of course, Teresa Tomeo, Deacon Dom will be there. Father Dave Pavanka, Father Leo Padalinghug, just to name a few. Father Joe Krupp will also be there, Dr. Ray Garendi, Dr. Elizabeth Lev. So what an amazing group of people we all get to be with and learn from each other. It's all about faith and fellowship. And these pilgrimages, so to speak, or these trips enable us to disconnect and kind of gain some clarity. I'll talk about that a little bit in my coach's commentary today. But, you know, we need to gain clarity. We need to kind of step back from that day-to-day. And these types of pilgrimages and trips, like the Good News Cruise, like going to Italy in the Jubilee year, allows us to disconnect from the culture and grow closer with Christ. And we need that in our lives. We need that to gain clarity so we know where the Lord is taking us. And it helps us have these epiphany moments where the light bulb goes off. And, you know, I was blessed, my sisters and I have talked about this on the air before, to go to Italy with Teresa on pilgrimage with corporate travel. And Teresa penned a wonderful article in the National Catholic Register, 7 Ways to Make the Most of the Jubilee at Home and in Rome. Discover the art of doing nothing and everything during your Jubilee pilgrimage to Italy or at home. And she talks about 7 ways, like, do your research before you travel. And Teresa and I talk about research, research, research. This is really important in life in general, especially as leaders. You know, do your research. You know, if you're trying to develop yourself as a leader and whatever profession you have, research is really imperative. And I notice a lot of issues people have in corporate America is because there's a lack of research. Teresa's gorgeous. There's a beautiful picture of her, the balcony from her home in Italy, which I've had the pleasure of staying at. Her and Deacon Dom are just wonderful hosts. The background, her backyard is so picturesque. It's so beautiful and so peaceful. Consider an organized tour or pilgrimage. I highly recommend this. Like I said, I went on pilgrimage, La Dolce Fide, with Teresa in corporate travel. It was an amazing trip, a trip of a lifetime. It was the most memorable. I'll never forget it. My sisters and I had a fabulous time. And I really just disconnected. That was my favorite part, is just being away from all the noise in the world and in the culture and just connecting with Christ through the saints and, you know, the wonderful places that we visited. So travel in the off season, this does not present a challenge for families with school. It does present a challenge for family with children in school, but this is a great opportunity. We kind of traveled towards the end of the beginning of the off season, end of the traditional season in the fall. I highly recommend that. Rome beyond Rome. If you're traveling to Italy, think about other parts of Italy besides Rome, like Assisi or Rieto, where I've been, Greccio. Teresa took me on amazing places. I've been to Florence. I've also been to Venice and other places in Italy, but her pilgrimages with corporate travel are just, they do such a great job putting them together. She also says, remember that there's no place like home, and we're very blessed here in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Archbishop Vigneron has identified pilgrimage sites that you could find out at the AOD website that are places that you could go on pilgrimage here in Michigan for the Jubilee year. So there's many places, including the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament in Detroit. learn la dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing. This is really important to kind of, which I talked about, disconnecting. And then grab a copy of Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa's new book coming out this month. Get a copy, and this will give you a great perspective on how to travel to Italy. So that's Teresa's blog and the National Catholic Register. You can go read that. We could put that on the archive section of Catholic Connection today. Coming up on Catholic Connection, before we get to, we'll be talking about my coach's commentary a little later, but Chuck Gatica will be joining us, and this will tie into my coach's commentary because we'll be talking about New Year's resolutions, or I like to call them goals. I don't like to call them resolutions. I like really to set goals for the year and come up with a strategic plan about how we're going to execute those goals. And it's something that I do with clients all the time. I just did this yesterday, kind of fine-tuning my goals for the year and creating a strategic plan for the entire year. What I'm going to do in January, February, March, April, May, June, for the whole year. And then I break that down week by week. You know, what are the things that I'm trying to achieve and how I'm going to achieve them? What do I want my life to look like a year from now? So we'll talk with Chuck Gatica about Journey Strong and our goals for the next year. Also joining us today is Father James Kubicki, author of A Year of Daily Offerings, Giving Your Life to God One Day at a Time. I love this, too, because part of what I do as a coach is talk about small steps. 1% better today than you were yesterday. What can you do at this moment? It's part of my positive intelligence training. We get so overwhelmed with what we're trying to accomplish. Sometimes it's one day at a time. Just focus on what you've got going on today. Yes, plan out and strategize, but don't get overwhelmed. Because I tend to get very overwhelmed very easily. So I have to take my own coach's instruction and just do things one day at a time. So a year of daily offerings, giving your life to God one day at a time. Looking forward to talking with Father James about that. And then Ryan Staley's joining us, Research of the Parents Defending Education. We'll be talking with him today about Parents Education released a new report revealing that from 2021 to 2024, the Department of Justice, the DOJ, spent more than $100 million in federal funding in 36 states, 946,000 K-12 districts, over 3 million K-12 students to promote restorative justice practices, social-emotional learning, and DEI in the classroom. Okay, a lot to talk about there today with Ryan about that. These are things that we as parents have to be cognizant of to understand how children are being not really educated but indoctrinated, which is so unfortunate. It is 8 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo, host of Epiphany, filling in for Teresa Tomeo this morning, and now it's time for the news. Partly cloudy skies today with a high of 27 degrees in southeast Michigan, 24 on Wednesday, cloudy, mostly sunny on Thursday, a high of 27. And over the weekend, we'll see some snow showers on Friday, 25 degrees, mostly cloudy on Saturday, a high of 29, and Sunday, a high of 28 degrees here in southeast Michigan. Today's news is brought to you by the House of Joppa, houseofjoppa.com. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is resigning as leader of his Liberal Party, but will remain Prime Minister until a new leader is chosen. He made the announcement Monday, calling it what's the best for the country. Trudeau has served as the country's prime minister since 2015. His decision comes as he's faced falling poll numbers ahead of general election. Many analysts predict he will lose. Prosecutors are being granted more time to prepare their case in the deadly shooting of the CEO of the United Healthcare, Natalie McGlee, is reporting.
In an order of continuance, the defense team for alleged shooter Luigi Mangione agreed with prosecutors to push court proceedings to the middle of next month. This gives both sides an extra 30 days to prepare for pretrial proceedings and the trial itself. Mangione has pled not guilty to several state charges, including murder and furtherance of terrorism in connection to the December shooting that left UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson dead in front of a Manhattan hotel.
Meta is adding its fact-checking program in favor of a community-based system similar to Community Notes on X. The changes announced today by CEO Mark Zuckerberg will affect Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Zuckerberg said the idea is to focus on reducing mistakes and restoring freedom of expression. He cited the recent election as a big reason behind the decision, criticizing government and legacy media for pushing for more censorship. Apple is planning to update its artificial intelligence after complaints about inaccurate news alerts on iPhones. Michael Kastner has that story.
The company said Monday it would work to have the software clarify when notifications are AI-generated summaries. The BBC raised concerns last month after a summary incorrectly told readers that accused healthcare CEO killer Luigi Mangione had shot himself.
A judge is rejecting President-elect Trump's efforts to stop his sentencing this week. Trump is to be sentenced for a criminal conviction in New York hush money case. On Friday, Judge Juan Merchant set January 10th as Trump's sentencing date. Trump's lawyers appealed the decision to dismiss his attempts to have his conviction tossed out. Trump is now scheduled to be sentenced this Friday, less than 2 weeks before his inauguration. U.S. Steel and Japanese-owned Nippon Steel are suing President Biden over his decision to block a deal that would have seen them join forces. The companies allege Biden violated their constitutional rights to having due process. The president blocked the proposed deal last week and said we need American companies representing the majority of the country's steelmaking capacity to put our interest in the forefront. Cal Fire is boosting staffing ahead of the dangerous Santa Ana winds that are expected to arrive in Southern California today. Mark Mayfield has more.
Cal Fire has sent 45 additional fire engines and 6 hand crews from Northern California down to Los Angeles, Orange, Ventura, Riverside, San Bernardino, San Diego, and San Luis Obispo counties. Meanwhile, locally based units are preparing by adding extra engines, hand crews, bulldozers, and water tenders that will be available around the clock. Wind gusts between 50 and 80 miles per hour are expected today through Thursday. There is a chance of localized gusts of up to 100 miles per hour.
The death toll has risen to nearly 100 after a powerful earthquake struck a remote region of Tibet in southern China. The U.S. Geological Survey says it hit close to the border with Nepal just after 9 a.m. local time. It was felt as far as India, Bhutan, and Bangladesh. Visitors at a Mount Everest base camp also reported shaking. The CDC is confirming America's first bird flu death, Sarah Lee Kessler reports.
The CDC says the person who died was over 65 years old, had underlying medical conditions, and had been hospitalized in Louisiana with a severe case of bird flu. The state health department there says the H5N1 virus was contracted through exposure to a non-commercial backyard chicken flock and wild birds. According to the CDC, there have been 66 confirmed cases of bird flu in the U.S. as of 2024, but this is the first fatality.
Researchers say walking can boost your mood after a rough day. According to a JAMA Network open paper published in December, feelings of depression go away with the more steps we take. The research looked at 33 studies monitoring the activity of almost 100,000 adults using smartphones and fitness trackers, finding that those who had higher step counts noticed less depression symptoms. The study is based on data from 13 different countries with participants ranging in age from 18 to 91 years old. Those who logged 7,500 steps daily were 42% likely to have depressive symptoms. It is 14 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for my dear sister this morning, Teresa Tamio. When we come back, we'll be talking about my coach's commentary. We'll be right back after this.
St. Joseph's Helpers works throughout the year to provide minor home repairs free of charge to those most in need. When you volunteer with St. Joseph's Helpers for as little as 2 hours per month, you're helping to make sure that veterans and the elderly are in homes that are safe and warm all winter long. To sign up as a volunteer helping with home repairs, office administration, or prayer ministry, visit sjhelpers.org today. That's sjhelpers.org.
What constitutes hope? The Catholic Catechism tells us when God fully reveals himself and calls man, man cannot respond on his own. He must hope that God will give him the capacity to love and respond and act in conformity with the commandment of charity. Hope confidently expects divine blessing and the beatific vision of God while fearing to offend him and incur punishment. Despair is a sin against hope because when a man despairs, he ceases to hope for his eternal salvation, which denies God's goodness, justice, and mercy. The sin of presumption, on the other hand, assumes God will give you forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit, or presumes that man can win his salvation with no supernatural assistance. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Is your business making the impact it deserves online? At GTU, we elevate your brand with intuitive websites and mobile apps, stunning content, and sound strategy that truly reflects your brand. I'm Al Zara, owner of GTU. Like you, I trust Ave Maria Radio for valued insights. GTU offers you the same level of expertise in a marketing partner you can have faith in. Visit GTU.com and let's amplify your brand's digital presence together.
Unlock your organization's potential this 2025. It's my coach's commentary talking about goals for the new year. And we can set these goals at any time, but we traditionally set these resolutions. But unfortunately, research shows that, you know, people fall off that resolution bandwagon within just a couple weeks of starting them. So as a leadership development coach and team building coach and strengths coach, I really like to set goals and come up with a strategic plan to execute those goals. So if we want to create, for instance, creative and engaging cultures within our communities, within our offices that drives our organizations to prosperity, a communication audit can reveal disconnects and gaps within communication, showing how to close them and fill the gaps for a more cohesive workplace. And so I have written an ebook called Conversations That Create the Culture, 14 Valuable Insights Leaders Gain from a Communications Audit. And one of the audits you gain, one of the insights you gain, rather, is how we communicate in terms of the channels we use. So my dad used to always tell me, no one cares what you have to say if you don't know how to say it. I can't tell you how many times I heard that phrase growing up because I had a temper. My dad used to say to me, every time that I lost my temper, Vanessa, nobody cares what you have to say if you don't know how to say it. Well, that could be perceived in different ways. What we say and how we say it is equally important, but it's just not our tone of voice. The how we communicate includes the platforms we use to communicate. So if through a communications audit, leaders can determine which communication channels are most effective and which ones need improvement. So I've worked with some clients whose companies were very email-focused. That means the most of their communication was written, even when team members were just steps away from each other. Some shared the same office, and they still communicated in writing. They didn't even just turn to the next person in the cubicle next to them to talk to them. They literally just sent an email or a text. Written communication has its benefits, of course. Certain things can be put in writing, but only in a verbal dialogue can two or more people engage in a fruitful conversation that solves problems. So many clients like to document conversations or document meetings to make sure that everybody's on the same page, which is a great way to be consistent and to make sure, you know, nothing falls through the cracks, so to speak, right? So you have a verbal conversation, maybe you have a meeting, and then you follow up and you go back to the office and you kind of recap the meeting, or somebody takes notes and shares those notes so everybody can refer to them and know what was discussed. That's wonderful. But so when we begin by inventorying all the communications touch points, consider every place where your organization interacts with various contacts, whether it's in person or through email, social media, newsletters, team presentation, text, or other channels. Remember, everything associated with your brand counts. So everything that you're doing within your organization, whether it's a religious organization, a diocese, a church, a parish, a community organization, a nonprofit, or a major company, maybe you're running a Fortune 500 company, I don't know. but how is your staff communicating internally? This same inventory can be used for external communications, of course, but it's done a little differently. Nonverbal communication contributes to more than 50% of how we communicate. So Albert Mehrabian, a body language researcher, broke down the components of face-to-face conversations. He found that communication is 55% nonverbal, 38% vocal, and 7% words only. That's why how you say something is so important, not just what you're saying. So the words are 7%, 38% is your vocal, your tone, 55% is your body language. So we're communicating in so many different ways, and that's why people pick up different cues when they're seeing you in person versus just reading your words. Because we lose tone of voice, sarcasm is not always understood in writing, right? So we got to think about how we are communicating, just not what we're saying. What we're saying is important, but how we're saying it. Essentially, when we engage in written communication, we lose more than 50% of how we communicate, including facial expression, tone of voice, and body gestures. In some cases, sarcasm is lost. People might perceive a written message differently than if they were with you face to face and you were verbally saying it, right? And they could see all your reactions, your facial expressions, how you're moving your hands. In one client case, an executive team member noted that email communication was often a method to pass off responsibility. It was common in their company's culture for employees to send an email expressing a concern or issue and copy dozens of people as if passing the buck to someone else. Sending the email meant to them that they are taking it off their plate, and someone else needs to figure this out, the executive said. They often don't signal out any one person, so no one knows who that person is addressing. What happens is no one takes ownership of the issue, and that person who sent the email says, well, I told you guys. And that's not a great way to take off responsibility. That's really not leadership style. That is not. That causes confusion when you don't explain who the message is going to. You know, that's not crossing your T's and dotting your I's. That is just like, let me just get this off my plate so I don't have to deal with it. In a communications audit, we gain insights regarding data, numbers, percentages, and written statements. In one client audit, it was determined that more than 50% of employees communicate through emails. There were also disagreements on the effectiveness of the email versus face-to-face conversations. Some employees preferred face-to-face meetings with follow-up emails confirming that what was discussed, which I just explained. Others thought emails delayed problem-solving and impromptu face-to-face meetings were distracting. So this is something you got to figure out, your culture, because the conversations that we have in an organization will create the culture, that water cooler kibitzing. You know, could be, you know, sometimes those impromptu meetings when you're crossing paths in a hallway could be very fruitful, but sometimes they can be very toxic because they become gossip, those water cooler conversations, so to speak. So this is an important starting point. Leadership needs to understand how employees communicate within the workplace. As other employees noted, emails have value because they create a paper trail for coworkers who claim amnesia or are so disorganized they do not keep track of communications. They document what was discussed and remind people what needs to be done. So know what platform your team members are using regularly. The effectiveness of those platforms needs to be assessed as well. So how are people communicating? If there's a lot of confusion in your organization, if there's a lot of tension, if there's a high employee turnover, you've got to ask yourself, where is the disconnect? What are we doing wrong? What's happening in our communication that our culture is very negative here? It's a chaotic, confusing culture. And that ultimately affects the bottom line. And that's why audits are so important and so effective, because from there you can create a strategic plan to improve the communication, and this is what leads to coaching. Coaching people on effective communication, on leadership, on team building, on working in their strengths, leading with their strengths, and managing their weaknesses. So that's what I love about communication audits. So think about, in this new year, maybe you need to audit the way people communicate in your workplace. And this could be part of your goal setting. Now, I also like to put my goals, as I mentioned, and five categories, right? So when you create your goals, think about your life in general, your holistic life, kind of like a balance wheel. Like one of the things I use, a tool I do with clients is have them create a balance wheel. And for me, I look at my balance wheel in pretty much five categories. My faith, my family, my finances, my fitness, food, and my friends, which is slash fun. You know, I could basically call it six categories, seven categories, but I'm going to add friends and fun. Fitness and food kind of go hand in hand, and friends and fun. So you look at your faith life, you know, that's to me my number one priority. My family life, my relationship with my family, my finances. Am I being fiscally responsible with my finances? Am I being a responsible steward of my finances? How is my fitness life? Am I exercising? I just read a news story about the benefits of walking and how it reduces depression. And the foods that we're eating, you know, we know that there's certain foods that, you know, cause inflammation, cause us to gain weight, you know, how much we're eating, you know, that could be one of the seven deadly sins of gluttony. So we got to think about that. And then our friends and our fun, who are we surrounding ourselves with? Who's in that close nucleus? I always tell my daughter, you don't need a bunch of close friends. You just need one or two close confidants. And then you can have a big social circle of people that you hang out with, go and, you know, have some entertainment. You know, maybe you go skiing with certain people, ice skating with certain people, go golfing with certain people. But these are not your close confidants. Your number one confidant, and mine, is Jesus Christ. He's the CEO of my life, my company. He's my confidant. I talk to him all day long. And then when you get married, it should be your spouse. You know, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, whoever that may be. You may have one best friend, and that's okay. You don't want your confidants to be a big group of people. One or two close friends, I always tell my daughter, that's it. And then the rest are your, you know, you can have other friends that you chat with and have good relationships with, and maybe you do confide in certain things with them, but you're not your closest confidants. And then your circle grows, you know what I mean? Maybe there's colleagues, maybe there's, you know, associates, maybe there's just networking people that you go on networking events to. But think about the people that you surround yourself with, and are they like-minded? And are they on this faith journey with you? And that's why I'm looking forward to talking with Chuck Gatica about our goals and Journey Strong and his focus on 55+. It's never too late to reassess your life. Believe me, there's things I wish I knew 20 years ago that I knew today that I would tell my younger self. You know, there's so many things I would tell my younger self. And in positive intelligence, we kind of fast forward our life. And what wisdom do you think we'll gain in 20 years that we want to tell ourselves today? That's kind of a strategy. You know, what are the things that we're learning today that we think we even know more in 20 years that we want to remind ourselves today? It's kind of having a proverbial time machine, so to speak. We know that doesn't exist. But so, you know, what have you learned along the way? What's epiphany moments have you had on your faith journey that just enhances your growth? Because at the end of the day, we're just trying to become the best version of ourselves. We're trying to grow in these areas and have good balance, grow in our faith, have better relationships with our family, increase our, you know, have financial security, improve our fitness and our food, our health, and have good circle of friends, and have some fun. We do need to disconnect. That I talked about earlier about these pilgrimages Teresa goes on. We need to disconnect and just kind of reassess and refocus and gain some clarity. And it's through that disconnecting and silencing the noise of the world that we really hear the voice of God, and we have these epiphany moments where He shines truth on us. So think about your goals and unlocking your company's potential, your personal potential, and your organization's potential. And if you're in leadership or you're developing yourself as a leader, think about the potential you have as a leader through the way you communicate. And consider having an audit. In fact, if anybody wants to email me today, info@epiphanycommunications.com, I'll send you a free copy of my ebook, info@epiphanycommunications.com. I'll send you a free copy of my ebook, a PDF of Conversations That Create the Culture. It's approaching 30 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection on this Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be talking with Chuck Gatica, Journey Strong, and we'll talk about focusing on 55 and older. We'll be right back after the break. Foundations of Fitness Forever in Transition. I love the homepage of Chuck Gatica's website. We're talking about Journey Strong and our goals for 2025, focusing on 55 and older. Happy New Year, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you. Thanks.
I really love your homepage because it really ties into what I was talking about in my coach's commentary just a few minutes ago about my five foundations of life, where I focus on faith, family, finances, fitness, food, friends, and fun, which are kind of go hand in hand together. But so tell us about Journey Strong and the foundations of fitness forever in transition. Kind of give us an overview, Chuck, and we'll get into a goal setting too.
Well, I think we're always in a state of transition. You know, when I first left my full-time job in TV news, I was speaking a lot about this idea of halftime, you know, the second half of life. And it resonates really well. It sounds kind of cool. And then people scratch their head and they go, wait a minute, what's that mean, the second half? You know, does it start at 40? Is it at 50?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting now, coming out of a pandemic, that we witness in our own family's life, our youngest daughter, age 25-ish at the time, having a transition in life, moving back from New York City to Detroit. Saw it in some of our other kids. So I think, and I think most people can relate to this, especially coming through COVID and now hopefully, you know, out of it, even though it's still around, the notion that whether you're 25, 35, 50, even 85, we're always in transition, and it is never too late to be who God wants you to be. Never.
Yeah, amen to that. And, you know, sometimes we get caught up in our age and, you know, we could be young and only have limited time on earth. We don't know how long we're going to
sure.
be here. I mean, we were talking about a nun yesterday celebrating 117 years, Chuck, on earth, you know. So, we don't know. So talk about setting goals. Like when we think about 55 and plus and our goal setting, some people are nearing retirement at that age, but it's still not too late to set goals for yourself. So let's kind of go through that. How do you help, you know, what advice do you have for us in setting those goals and kind of tying into the foundations of fitness too?
Well, I think, you know, you've heard of this. We typically have heard of SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, maybe relative to our business life, right?
Yeah.
But then it kind of caught fire for a while. It was a very popular thought. I would add two more letters to it. But if we go over that, you're thinking in your life of maybe family goals. You know, you were talking about them too in your transitions in life and what you're trying to do. Family goals, financial goals. Maybe you still have professional or career goals. If you're retiring, whatever that word means for everybody, it doesn't mean you can't unretire. You can't start something new. You can have spiritual goals. I hope we do. And you can have physical goals. So all of those goals are there. But this acronym of SMART, I think, is a good way to think about life. And what the letters mean, S is for specific, M for measurable, A for achievable, R for relevant, and T for timely. So if we go through those real quick, Vanessa, be specific. You know, a lot of people think of losing weight. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to change jobs. So be specific about a goal. Make it measurable. Maybe write it down. And I would urge us all to think about, even in life, making goals that you use a pencil instead of a pen.
Yeah.
And I say that because pencils have erasers, you know.
Yeah.
You can erase it. You can change it. It's okay. It's your goal. You know, you don't have to lock yourself in to a whole year of 2025 and then like 80% of America fall off the wagon. Most 80% of Americans are off their goal within the first month and certainly by the end of the first year. So why do that to yourself? If you said, I'm going to do something audacious like lose 50 pounds, but you've lost 30, well, erase the 5 and put in a 3 and celebrate and say,
yeah.
I mean, what a great goal. So make something measurable. Make it achievable. You know, if you and I had lunch and I said to you over the lunch table, I want to get myself a Bentley, you should look at me as a friend and say, Chuck, that's just not probably an achievable thing. You're right. So why would you make that your goal when you know going in it's not achievable? So make it achievable, that's the A. Make it relevant, that's the R. If you're going to start jogging 20 miles a day and you've never jogged before and it's cold and icy, 16 degrees outside my house, do you really think that's relevant to the time of the year? Probably not. And then make it timely. Make it something that fits in your available time. And the only letters I would add to that come back to this idea, Vanessa, of using an eraser when you're making goals, is to make them revisable, make them evaluatable. Yeah. In other words, at the end, if you're going through your year and you get to June and you've achieved a good part of it or a little part of it, well, just take your eraser and maybe you reevaluate your goal and reset it. It's okay. Yeah. It's your goal. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, reassess. And I, when I'm coaching clients, Chuck, I'm always having a, when you create the goals, a strategy to achieve whatever you're trying to achieve, what are you going to do in the month of January, February, March, April? I always say every quarter you should reassess it. Are these still the same goals? Because they're fluid, like you said. They can be. I love that because they are fluid. They may change as things go, but you're still trying to achieve something. You know, sometimes the biggest mistake, like you said, when they're not specific, when they're not smart, is because they didn't create a plan. They put it out there, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, but okay, well, how are you going to lose 50 pounds? What are you going to do to lose 50 pounds? Are you exercising every day? Are you cutting out sugar? Like, what are the steps you're taking to achieve that goal?
And as a coach, you know this, and this applies to everybody at every age, is to think back to a time in your life where you were achieving that goal. What were you doing differently? What can you move out of the way of your life or move back into your life that sets you up for that time where you were in the zone, you were doing it, you know, I'm driving every day to the club and I'm working out. And when did you do that last? Well, that was about 5 years ago. Well, let's try that again, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just think back for a minute. Everything doesn't always have to be forward-looking. It can be what you're doing in the present and also some of the great achievements you've had in the past that have brought you success, and pray and focus about those for a minute and think, that's when I was in the zone. I'm going to try that again.
Yeah, what worked? Like, look in the rear view mirror. We're talking with Chuck Etika here. Yeah, sometimes we don't want to dwell on the past, but we want to look to see what worked and what didn't work. You know, what can we improve upon? We're talking about with Chuck Etika here this morning on Catholic Connection, Foundations of Fitness Forever in Transition, Journey Strong, focusing primarily on 55+. Tell me about that, Chuck, when, you know, we talked about that, you know, halfway point, the halftime, you know, as we're looking at the Lions season two doing so well. Sometimes you need that halftime to kind of reassess what's going on. You know, what are you finding from the people, the feedback you're getting from the people you're talking to and working with on Journey Strong?
Well, I think when you start to think, you know, 55 plus is just a number that America has come up with. You know, Del Webb has got retirement communities, and it could be, in my case, I read this book called Halftime, Moving Your Life from Success to Significance when I was in my 40s. So I started getting a feeling when I was still at the top of my game in TV news, is this it? Is this all? What else am I going to do if God grants me 40, 50, even 60 years, or to your point with the nun going past, you know, into three digits? And that was a smoldering discontent that kind of sat under the surface in my life, and I know it does a lot of people's lives. Well, God, what do you want me to do? What is this all? And maybe what you're doing for a living and getting money is great, and it takes you all the way through to quote-unquote retirement, but maybe there's a different plan. And so I think for a lot of us as we age, we've heard this word retirement. For some, it's forced upon us, right? Your boss comes in before Christmas and goes, boom, that's it. Or, like me, I felt God was leading me to make a change. Whatever it is, just remember that it is really never too late to be who God wanted you to be. And whether you're 45, 55, I met guys who were 85 who said, you know, is it too late? I said, no, I'm not going to card you. You know, I don't want to look at your age. It's okay. You know, you can do this at your age, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical for us all to remember. It doesn't matter where you are in your age.
Yeah. You know, I love that, Chuck. I just read a story, too, of two women, one in their 90s and another woman in her 100s, who just converted to Catholicism. And I thought, yeah, wow, how beautiful is that, coming into the faith? It, you know, it's never too late to come into faith and change the trajectory of your life. And, you know, some of the things we get so caught up in, Chuck, is our mistakes we make. But we all make mistakes. I always tell my daughter this. It's learning from the mistakes. It's not about making the mistakes and dwelling on the mistakes. It's, okay, mm-hmm. what can I learn from that? Because we're human. And, you know, I told her, I said, I still make so many mistakes today. No, we all do. It's part of human nature.
If you were to ask me of the men, and it's mostly men because I have pro bono coach, you know, I'm trained as a Mayo Clinic wellness coach and have been a pastor, so I enjoy this idea of walking with people like you do, you know, it's coaching. And if you were to ask me of the people that I've coached, mostly men, I find it is an issue in their life that relates to identity and who they were or who they didn't become or a regret. And, you know, biblically we're told to leave the old man behind and move forward and become a new person. And I think that's great wisdom, that we have to be brave. Maybe this goal you're setting in your life is really going to be the most audacious thing, a big hairy goal, you know, that you're setting. It may require work lifting weight. It may be one of the hardest things you've ever done. Does that mean you shouldn't take it on? No. But, you know, just this past weekend, our priest, Father Bob LaCroix, was preaching about this, and he cited King David in 2 Samuel. He said, you know, I will not make an offering to God that costs me nothing. Well, that's pretty cool to think about. What are you willing to ask God for? But more importantly, maybe, what are you willing to offer up to God? And you're going to say, it's all of me, God. I'm all in. I want to be connected to you. I want to come back to the church like I did. And, okay, what am I giving up? And I think that's a great question for us to ponder.
Sometimes what we're giving up is exactly what God wants us to give up. I mean, we get, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've gotten caught up in things, Chuck, over the years where a door was closing and I was trying so hard to, like, shove it open, and it was like kept closing and closing. And I wasn't paying any attention to the window that was being opened on the other side, you know what I mean, so to speak. And so sometimes we get so caught up in our will, we forget that God has a better plan for us, you know, and that's sometimes part of that reassessing is discerning.
Well, discerning, and then also understanding, you know, this idea, don't be discouraged that you've got this big goal that seems like it's nearly impossible. You know, you want to keep it in that smart realm of achievable, but at the same time, just remember we serve a big God. Take your big dream to, if you could write it out on a piece of paper and hit print, you know, there's a pastor once, a Christian pastor, who said, why would you take your big dream to God and just rip off a little corner of that piece of paper and go, here, you know, like you're trembling. Oh, here, God, take the whole piece of paper to him and hand it. He's a big God. He'll help you out. Don't worry.
Amen. We're talking with Chuck Gatecut today. We're talking about Journey Strong, Foundations of Fitness Forever Transition. We've got to take a break here on Catholic Connection. We're going to continue with Chuck right after this.
Is your child struggling with math or reading? Want to boost their grades and confidence? Hi, this is Ed Bahura. Welcome to Sylvan Learning Centers, where success is just a session away. With 45 years of experience, Sylvan Learning offers help in reading, math, college prep, and much more, with flexible schedules, affordable rates, and interest-free financing. Enroll today and watch your child's confidence soar. Catch up, keep up, and get ahead. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.
I was raised a Catholic and went to church every Sunday faithfully. I met a boy, and he was non-Catholic, so I left the church to be with him. When I was away from church, I yearned to be home. What brought me back was my longing for the Eucharist. The Eucharist fills me with a spirit that you can't find anywhere else. I have a peace when I walk through the doors of the Catholic Church, like that's where I belong.
We invite you to take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
This is Cy Kellett. Join me for Catholic Answers Live. It's 2 hours dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization. Designed for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, it's your opportunity to hear from and talk with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. You've got questions? We've got Catholic answers. Catholic Answers Live, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Call Choice Insurance Agency at 734-641-4200.
Journey Strong with Chuck Gatica, Foundations of Fitness Forever and Transition, and 55 plus. And, you know, this is a pretty big demographic, Chuck, of people in that 55 plus, but still have so much more to do and to give and have amazing goals and big dreams that they still want to accomplish. And there's nothing wrong in that category, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have big goals and big dreams, too.
Yeah, you know, and I am there too, and so many people we know, our contemporaries, are right there. And it's kind of funny, a few years ago, you may recall the headline, maybe you talked about it on air, of how the millennials had now surpassed the number of baby boomers in America. And we were having a family dinner at our house, and all of our kids are millennials, right? They're all in that age group. We have five children. And so they were all kind of talking, and they said, "Hey, Dad, did you hear that new statistic that there are more of us now than, you know, more baby boomers?" And I said, "Yeah, that's really cute. You know what the problem is that we own everything." You know, what I was trying to do in a fun, snarky way, though, but I was trying to say, okay, stand down. There are a lot of you, but there are almost as many of us. And if you look at the statistics, I'm not saying everybody's a millionaire, but we've lived through this time of, talk about financial fitness, you know, IRAs, 401ks, those kinds of things. And I think the other thing we should remember is the sheer numbers are indeed astounding, Vanessa. You've got 100 million people in America, 50 plus. You've also got trillions of dollars collectively, right? It hasn't gone extremely well for everybody, but you've got trillions of dollars of wealth locked up in the baby boomers alone. And here's one that I love to think about. Trillions of hours of free time. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're retired. That just means you've got a little more time because the kids have grown. And I know the context of this changes. Like for us, my parents got ill, so now you're kind of the sandwich generation for a while. You're taking care of kids and older family members. But for many of us, you get this time. And when you get time given to you, it's a gift from God. Now I think it leads to some of these questions. God, what do you want me to do with that? Like, how much golf can you play, you know? And can you take the power of having a little more time, your own talents and charisms, and now some treasure, and say to God, what do you want me to do with that? I'm 55. Maybe God gives you 30, 40, 50 more years. What are you going to do with that, Vanessa? And I think it's a great prayer to take to God.
Amen to that. And you said that something so important, Chuck, is take it to prayer. Because sometimes we think, you know, our way is always the right way, and we get really stubborn, and we don't realize that God is showing us even a better way.
Well, you're right. And, you know, it's funny because here's the name of your typical show. I know you're in for Teresa this week, but Epiphany, and I know the genesis of that word. This idea of a sudden manifestation in life or a perception of something meaningful just boom, it happens. And you and I have talked about that on air before.
Yeah.
But Father Bob, back to his sermon or his homily this past weekend, he talked about how God wants to manifest something clearly in our lives in new ways in this new year. Now the question is, what is it and how do you discover it? And part of that is prayer, getting in concert with God, letting the Holy Spirit lead you. And again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because if you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, there's power there. And that word in Greek is dunamis. Dunamis. That's a derivative of the same word as dynamite. You've got the power of God inside you. So when you think about your new goal, don't stand down. Stand up and say, "Hey, I'm going for it. It's a big goal, but man, I'm going for it. God, I need to pray with you."
So Chuck, when you were leaving the media, you know, you spent many years of your life there, did you have a sound goal, or has it kind of evolved since you have retired from television?
I had a goal at the moment, which, you know, that was before I came back to the Catholic Church, which I'm born and baptized Catholic, and now I really have to tell you, because we haven't talked about this publicly together, but my wife Susan converted last Easter Vigil, and we just had our marriage convalidated in the church.
Oh, so God bless. That's awesome.
Yeah, beautiful story. So I think I'm a living example of this idea that I did have a goal. I have goals, but I've used a pencil eraser because, like a lot of people, it's not a straight line, you know, especially after 55. It's been this serpentine, snaky trail that led to great stuff, but I didn't all see it coming. I couldn't have planned it on my own. I know God was and is in it. And so that's why I want to encourage people to think that this, you may set a goal and draw a straight line to it. If you're like me, you're type A. And sometimes I get caught praying, you know, today, and I'm like, God, I need to hear by Thursday because I've got stuff to do, you know. God's saying, that's cute, Chuck. You know, I'll let
you
know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you do need to be prepared to adjust. You really do. And I'm, again, not because I'm so special. I really am just a living example of that. And it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my spiritual advisor told me many years ago, God's timing is not your timing. You know, and patience was never really one of my virtues, Chuck, but it's I had to adopt it as a virtue. Chuck Gatica is here with us on Catholic Connection, talking about Journey Strong. Chuck, any last words you want to share with our listeners here before we let you go?
Well, this wheel of fitness that I've developed and your way of thinking about it, I think this thinking of a wheel is like a tire on your car. If you're driving along here early in the year and you're hearing a pull, thump, 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 or the car is pulling to the right, there's something off. Is it your body, your soul and spirit? Is it financial goals? Is it social connection? Is it time? You need to open up more time. Is it emotional? You know, a lot of anxiety, loneliness. Try to pray about what is it that's just off. And maybe that's your goal for this 2025 season. Get that in line, and you'll just feel like you're more in concert with Jesus.
I love it. Chuck, give out your website again before we let you go.
It's really just my name, which is not the easiest if you don't know it. It's just Chuck Gatica, G-A-I-D-I-C-A, chuckgatica.com. And you can email me there, and I get copied right away. So I'd be happy to connect with anyone.
Thanks, Chuck. God bless. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again.
Yep. Okay, be well.
Chuck Gatica here with us on Catholic Connection, Journey Strong, talking about our goals for 2025 and how we are going to create our goals and execute our goals. And you heard Chuck talk about the SMART method. You know, you have to be specific. It has to be measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. That's a great acronym to figure out how you're creating your goals. And then create the strategic plan. And as you heard, Chuck has that balance wheel on his website, that foundation of fitness wheel. It's a great tool to use as you create your goals. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to head into the National Hour here on EWTN, co-collaboration of Ave Maria Radio and Catholic Connection. We'll be right back after the break.